Hi, my name is Michelle Nichols, and I'm a singer and actress, and I want to thank you so much for watching my upcoming episode of The Chat with Dan Show. Check it out.
So welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For today, we have on the show, what can I say? We have here the incredible, the amazing, the legendary, the badass Michelle. Michelle, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What better way to have an incredible Friday and an epic finish off of the week that we chatted with someone as badass as you know what I mean?
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Now, right. So let's dig in here. Let's jump in. So tell me, for those who don't know who is incredible, amazing, badass Michelle, please tell us who you are.
Well, I'm an actress and a singer. I've been pretty much doing this since I was a kid. Cool. And I'm pretty much ruined for any kind of normal job, because I just love it so much.
There you go. So you basically are trying to do it a little bit of everything here and there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love both music and acting.
Cool. All right. I love that. Now, let's go back in time and tell me, what drew you to acting in the first place? Like, was there like a specific moment or perhaps like an experience that made you realize to be like, you know what, this is going to be my passion?
So I've always had... I think we all have those pictures of us as kids kind of like being silly in front of people, but I've always been that person that would just go and talk to anybody. Oh, if there's a stage, I'm going to go jump on it, even if I'm not given permission to do so, and just kind of dance, perform for people, make people laugh, entertain people. So I've always kind of instinctively been that person. Mm-hmm. But I do remember as a kid seeing like a lot of Audrey Hepburn films when I was a kid, and I was like, oh, you can get paid to do that. That's a job. And then going, oh, I like that. I want to do that. And then just at the first opportunity I could, basically ask my parents, like, you know, can I sing somewhere? Can I get into drama? You know, that kind of thing. And they were really great about being very supportive of that.
That's incredible. And look where you are right now. That's incredible. Now, focusing a little bit on the whole, you know, character creation process, tell me, like, how you approach getting into the whole mindset of a character. Do you have like any specific specific techniques or perhaps like a ritual, you know, like what is your thing?
So I'm very academic about it. I mean, I really get into the psychology of the character. So I took some psych classes in college along with all my acting and music classes, because I really wanted to understand and get into a character. But I always try to find something personal within that character that is similar to my personality. Mm-hmm. And that way I can connect and empathize, even if it's one thing that I can empathize with that character and really connect with. A lot of Stanislavski students will know like what emotional recall is. I really like emotional recall. It helps me both empathize and bring my personality and anything from my past that I can use into the character, just mm-hmm. to make it more authentic. So it comes from a real place as opposed to just putting on a mask and pretending. And then I like to script mine. I like to have that script tell me who that character is, why it is that they're doing, what it is they're doing. If I can have conversations with the writer, that's better, but we don't always get to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the process. And then I literally will draw like a diagram basically of what happens to that character throughout that story, that character arc, and then I will draw it. So I have like a visual cue of what happens at key moments. And then I will draw a parallel storyline and see where those moments connect with the actual overarching storyline.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole other process than just learning your lines. You know what I mean? I love that. I love that process.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can really take you to incredible things, but also the fact that you can also get the chance to experience, you know, you can be basically everything from either, you know, something fictional to non-fictional, which I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting stepping into another person's shoes. And if you understand that character, it makes learning the lines a lot easier too.
Yeah, of course, of course. Now, that being said, is there like a particular genre or type of character that you haven't portrayed yet, but you would, you know, love to explore it in the future?
I really want to play a lawyer. Okay. I was pre-law in college, but I figured out very quickly that I'd rather just play one, because when you're an actor, you get to be everything. So mm-hmm. I've had some almost opportunities. I've had some opportunities to audition, but then I, you know, got a different part or something, but I really want to play like some kind of badass attorney. That would be cool.
I like it. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. That sounds pretty cool. I love that. Now, during your whole, acting experience so far, tell me, have you ever had like a role that made like a significant impact on you personally? And if it did, tell me how it did affected you.
Very recently, I think every role I have, I take something from it because every role is a new challenge. It's a new learning experience. I get something different from it. But very recently, I did a short film, a little like an indie short. It was called The Designer, and I got offered a really tough character that I've never played before. I played a drug addict, and I
Okay.
have no experience with that at all. And having to play a character that's very vulnerable, that is almost a victim kind of character. She's a survivor too, but she is very different. I play a lot of tough characters, as you said, badass. I love that. I play a lot of cops, a lot of really tough women. So to have to pull a lot of that back and have to bring kind of personal trauma from my past that I could use for that character was really, really tough, but it was incredibly rewarding and kind of taught me kind of where I can go in characters where I thought, okay, maybe I can, stick to playing these kind of characters that I love playing, these badass characters that I also have this ability to kind of go to places that I wasn't sure if I could go or if I wanted to go vulnerably and to learn, hey, I can do that and I can come out the other side and be okay and know that I can use something from my past and make something positive out of it is incredibly empowering, especially for any kind of recovery from trauma.
And now that you mentioned that, like how you handle, the whole pressures and expectation at the same time you're about to play a character. I mean, it's inevitable, right? So how you manage to kind of stay focused or stay relaxed from those from those thoughts.
I try to stay as much in the process as possible because if I'm doing the work, I'm not in my head about it.
No.
I'm not overthinking it. I'm not thinking about, oh, will they like me? Will this director want to work with me again? Those are these kinds of intrusive thoughts that all of us can get. Am I good enough for this? Am I really the best person to play this? All of those things, I think those are natural insecurities that we can all have. And I think if you just delve into just focus on what you can control, and that is the work, that is your process, and you just do your job and you trust that everything else, all the crew, they're going to do their job. It's going to be the same thing. And all you can do is you can control what you can control. And then that way you kind of stay out of your own head.
Okay, I can understand that. I can understand that. And during the whole either process of creating of creating a character to play it, tell me what do you enjoy the most about the whole bringing a character to life?
Actually, honestly, there's only so much I can do at home. My favorite part is getting on that set. I got to get on that set in with everyone else in costume, in makeup. And then most importantly, like my favorite thing is connecting with the other actors because what they give me makes me better. It pulls me in maybe directions that I didn't originally see the character. How I connect with those other actors, that they make me so much better. And I love that process. And that's where real magic is made, I think, is when you take the things that you did at home and all the homework you did and you bring it onto set and you then just kind of, I have a rule about I bring my script, sure, but I don't put my head in my script. I'll have it with me for reference if somebody asks me a question or something, but for the most part, I do not bury my head in the script because I want to be as present as possible with those other actors so we can connect and make magic together.
Wow. And what are some of the things that you have learned, or perhaps that stuck with, that have stayed with you about your characters? You know what I mean? Like, are there like any parts of your characters that you still, carry with you, or once the project is over, you're like, you know what, the character is over, and I'm just gonna move, to continue my life, let's say.
Oh, I always bring the characters with me. They'll always be a part of me because there's a part of me that is in all of them. So I see them and I'm connected to them in that way forever. So, I mean, yeah, that they're something I made. And the nice thing about film and television is that they're there forever. You made them and they don't go away. It's not just, yeah.
And do you usually perhaps quote a part parts of your character on your daily life, and you're like, oh, I just say something about my character. Like, has it ever
Oh yeah,
happened to you?
I've definitely done that. I've definitely felt like certain characters have spoken to me in certain ways, or I'll bring up certain dialogue or something like that. And I kind of have this thing where I kind of talk in movie quotes sometimes anyway. But yeah, I always bring I those characters are always with me. I think I always learn something from those characters about myself, because there's so much psychology involved with acting too, that I feel like, we kind of learn a little bit about ourselves when we're in a project as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Now, you know what? Let's say, the one day I called you and I tell you that I want to become an actor. Now, here's the thing. I have to hear your experience. So, based on what you know, what do you think it would be, a good place for me to start?
I mean, I always tell people, I think the biggest thing is obviously just diving into doing a lot of the work. 3 to 6 months of like theater, acting classes, all of those things. Everyone always says those things, and that way you can figure out if you even enjoy the process, if you like the job. But I think a really big thing that I wish that I was told is that it's a business. We always learn the techniques, we learn how to audition, we learn all of that. But at the end of the day, you own your own business, and you're a business owner, and
Totally.
having basically stability plus flexibility equals sustainability. So your ability to have a flexible kind of either side hustle or group of acting kind of jobs that can actually sustain you, can give you a foundational income where you don't have to answer to other people, even if some of it isn't related to acting. Maybe you own your own business or something. So you can have that flexibility and that stability to be able to go the long run I mean, that's really where I was able to go full time as an actor, is when I kind of figured out, oh, this is running a business. And I feel like there's so many amazing, talented artists that are not taught how to run a business. And so they're continuously running out of money and then having to go and find some side hustle, get some more money. Their momentum is shut off, or they're constantly anxious about paying their bills all the time, and you can't go into auditions like that. You can't bring that with you. So I really wish that more people were teaching more business classes for actors, and that actors would delve in more to the business side of things.
Yeah. And tell me, what do you think is one of the reasons why perhaps they don't teach you or So again, so what do you think it's one of the reasons why they don't teach you that it's a business at the end? Like, what do you think it would be one of the reasons why that happens?
I think it's because it's not sexy. It's not like exciting. It's not the thing that you see when the people are putting out their acting classes of taking my acting classes. Everybody wants to take, ooh, the technique classes, because you want to learn how to cry, or you want to learn how to scream, or maybe even the audition classes, how to do a self-tape, because that's all how we're all auditioning. It's just a necessity. I think it's not as fun a class. It's not going to be as interesting a class. I mean, and a lot of it, I think you can learn from other business owners who are in other, slightly different industries, or just, taking like a business class yourself that's more business management related, less math related. And that, you could kind of tend to learn that. I think there's a void in it, though. I think there really is a place that somebody who knows that well can teach a class. And I know a few acting coaches that do, but not nearly as not enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, one of the things that I do hate is when that happens, exactly the fact that that they don't teach you the real stuff, and I think that happens to all careers. I mean, I remember also back when I was in college, they would be telling me like, oh, this is the best decision you ever took. You're gonna reach for the stars. They paint everything beautiful and amazing, and once you're in the real world, then you start to understand that it sucks. That it's challenging, that it's tough out there, that it's basically, I mean, this is gonna sound super cliche, but it's like a jungle out there, and then you start to, it's bad because at the same time so many people can walk can cannot walk out, to be like, you know what, no, this is not what I signed in, so I do think that it would be cool if they can perhaps like a teeth, I mean, at least to me, I would prefer if they will be telling me, you know what, this is gonna hurt. you know, a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But if you manage to continue to continue working on it, then it's gonna totally be worth it. Or as someone told me the other day, that make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. You know, if you're doing it for the money and the fame, I mean, come on, you can become a TikTok star in the next 24 or 48 hours, right? So if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then what's the point of it? You know, at some point you're gonna hate it, right? So
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very good friend who runs all of his acting classes, and what he does is he basically scares the hell out of everybody on the first day and tells them what the business really is like. And like half the people always drop out, and he gives them their money back, but the people that are left are the people that now know and they really want to be there.
Yeah. As I said, I mean, I think that's more. I mean, I do think that as a teacher, you want that, right? That your students know what is it. I mean, what kind of monster they're going up against. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Now, during your whole, you know, like your whole career here, tell me what has been your most valuable lesson, and at the same time, what you have learned from that experiences.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to trust my own instincts and to not be afraid to bring myself into a role. I think a lot of my early roles, I kind of wore a mask. I mean, I booked and everything, but I think I was trying to play a part, play what I thought, like a brand, from a branding perspective, you know. Oh, I'm being this kind of character and I'm being this quirky girl or something like that. And nothing ever really felt emotionally free to me, and it never felt authentic. And then there was a point where I just said, you know what, I'm just gonna bring myself into the roles. And then something happened there where everything after that, the roles just are authentic. I feel them as I'm playing them. I'm proud of the work that I've done, and I've learned how to trust my instincts instead of trying to kind of market myself or be some kind of brand.
And tell me, do you still get like a little bit nervous when you go on auditions, or little by little that feeling has started to, you know, like ease off?
You know, I always get butterflies, but they're excitement butterflies. And I think that you can tell your mind these are nerves, or you can say this is really exciting. So when it comes to like auditioning or anything like that, I always get a little bit before because I'm really excited. I want to be on set. I want to be having fun. But there's also always a moment right before, whether I'm singing on stage and I'm about, you know, I've got the cue of the music or whatever, or they're about to yell action, where I get very, very calm, where it's just completely peaceful. It's like being in the ocean. And it's just, everything is just kind of hazy, and I know exactly what's going to happen, even though you don't know what's going to happen. You really don't. But there's a piece that comes up like right when that moment is. And that's like, I think that's a real indication of you're exactly where you want to be, is when you have peace in that moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So would you say that calm would be the word that perhaps you could use to describe that feeling when you're stepping on stage or in front of the camera?
Oh yeah, I feel very at home, very calm. Yeah, I feel just totally purposeful where I'm supposed to be. Yeah, calm is perfect. Yeah,
love it. Now, what do you think that it's one of the biggest misconceptions people have about actors?
So many. There's so many. One that we're famous, and that if you're not famous, that you're not actually doing it. I had a conversation with somebody, and they said, you know, oh, you're an actor. Oh, what do you do for a living? I'm an actor. And they're like, oh, are you famous? And that sarcastic part of me that was like, no, you know, I'm a working actor, you know, whatever. But that snarky part of me kind of wants to say, well, what do you do for a living? Okay, you know, fill in the blank. Are you famous? Just because you're not famous doesn't mean you're not doing it. So I always think it's always an either or from people outside of the industry. And I always think, well, no, there's a lot in between. And just as any other industry, you know, how many doctors are famous?
Yeah.
And how many doctors are just working every day, just doing their job. And
that's
they don't.
True.
Yeah. So kind of like that.
Yeah, I do think that is also because of the blame would be on the media, you know, because they only show like the best parts, let's say, you know, like the
Oh, yeah.
final product, you know, when you were on this huge premiere or the Oscars, you know, or like an award show, you know, like things like that. And I think that's when people started to think that when you are an actor, they're instantly fame and all of those things are gonna come like right back. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
So yeah, I find that pretty hilarious that even till this day, you know, knowing that with the internet, you can find anything, there's still that kind of taboo, I would say, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have royalty in our country, so I think celebrities have kind of become our royalty, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Although I do think at the same time that it was not as before, you know, because right now we have influencers everywhere, you know.
Which, oh yeah, we do. Yeah.
Which now people, instead of focusing on, you know, because I remember back when I was a kid, like my idols were, I don't know, Michael Keaton, Tom Cruise, you know, like people like that who were, besides creating epic stuff, you know, they were, they were amazing on it, and now with the influencers, at least to me, like the problem that I see now is that everybody can be an influencer now, which at the same time it's cool, but it's dangerous because not everyone is a good influencer, you know what I mean? So
oh yeah, I mean there's a lot of be careful what you wish for with influencing. It's just like you can give a lot, you can serve a lot, you can teach a lot. I know I've learned stuff on, you know, from influencers and stuff like that, but it's also like it's inviting a lot of people into your private life sometimes. So I mean it's the same thing with acting. We have to be very careful about compartmentalizing as much as we can, keeping our private lives private, and then, you know, doing our job and understanding that it's a job at the end of the day. Like my family is, they're not actors, so they didn't ask for that. So I try to keep them kind of out of it as much as possible, because that they didn't, you know, ask for the publicity or anything like that. Or
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now tell me, if your life were a sitcom, what would be the title, but also who would you like to play the fictional version of yourself?
Okay, so fictional version, that's very easy. Zooey Deschanel.
Okay.
I did have the bangs for a while. They're kind of growing out though, but yeah. Zooey Deschanel, she's super quirky and I love her style, and she's great. She sings too, so she can bring out the little ukulele and sing, which is awesome. But yeah, I used to have a blog called The Undomesticated Actress.
Okay.
So I feel like that would make a good sitcom. There's always a joke basically amongst the people who know me that I'm basically only made for acting, that like I'm not a Martha Stewart type. It's really hard for me to host people. I'm limited in my cooking. I've gotten better, but it's like, yeah, that's always been a struggle of mine. That kind of, we're all homemakers. Everybody's got to live. We have to adult. We've got to, you know, clean our rooms, make our beds, you know, and you want to make a space that's, you know, I've got a pretty decent little studio set up here, and you want to make a space that's, you can be at peace at, and we spend a lot of time here, but I'm not a very domesticated person. So I'm the opposite of certain characters on TV that are a lot more domesticated like that. So I think that somebody like her could really, I think people can understand not being domesticated, and there's a very there's a lot of pressure to kind of have like Pinterest worthy apartments and stuff like that, and I do not have that. So I feel like that is the sitcom we're missing.
Okay, I'll take it. Now what about, check this out, let's say, you know, the one day they're gonna make this film in which it goes that all of the characters you have played at the moment, all of them, they're all gonna gather to celebrate your birthday. But now here's the thing, we need a title. So what do you think would be a good title for?
Okay. I think Ill Wishes.
Okay.
Most of my characters are pretty salty gals. They're tough. I don't think that they would get along too well. It might end up being a Tarantino film by the end, you know.
I like it. That's a good combination. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Now, what motivates you? You know, we all have those days that basically we just want to quit. You know, it's inevitable, happens to all of us in all, regardless what you do in life, it happens. So how you manage to stay positive and at the same time optimistic that everything will be all right, no matter how difficult the moment might be?
I remember that I love the process. I love the process of creating a character. I love being on set and creating. So no matter where a film goes or how many people see it, or if I have time in between projects, anything like that, you know, those times where we're, you know, auditioning and we're like, okay, I keep auditioning and I keep auditioning, or I keep getting pinned, or I get a call back, or, you know, all these things and it doesn't happen. I've noticed that every time I start to like feel bad, then it's like it happens in waves. Then all of a sudden, boom, 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 I'm booking a whole bunch. So it's kind of understanding that riding that wave is a part of the process, and knowing that this too shall pass, that it's not like, oh no, I haven't booked in a little while, that means I'm never going to book again. It's just kind of trying to not think that way and understand that this is, that wave is part of the process, that up and down is part of the process, and staying creative, producing your own content, I think, in your own projects is really, really good. That way you're never really out of the job. I think that's really important too. And just trusting your instincts when it comes to the roles that you want to take, the people that you want to work with, and not have a very, very small group of people that you let kind of speak into your life, you know, not letting everybody, it's not ruled by committee. It's at the end of the day, you're the captain of your own ship.
True. That's true. I mean, it's horrible, right? The fact that being optimistic and positive, it tends to be like a real pain in the butt, and be, you know, negative and depressed is like the easiest thing ever. You know what I mean? I mean, perhaps that is like a message on life, that good things come with hard work, you know, things like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like life is never going to be completely easy all the time either. So the expectation that it's going to be is just always going to be disappointing, because life happens, stuff happens in life, and your ability to kind of ride those waves, just makes you stronger. It makes you better. And just kind of propels you forward for whatever that next chapter is.
Totally. Now, my last question here is, if we could make a film out of the episode we just did right now, tell me, what would be the title of it?
Trust Your Instincts.
Trust Your Instincts. That was fast. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, at the end, you know, at the end, what can I say? You know, it's, yeah, I love the fact that you're doing what you do, you know, that you are following a passion. I mean, I can understand that it's hard a lot of times, and yeah, a little bit depressed, you know, but the fact that you're doing it, the fact that you keep making it happen, the fact that you're booking, the fact that you're showing results, I think that's proof enough for everyone around to be like, that dreams are possible. You know, we tend to, whenever we think on dreams, we tend to go big, which is great, but when we start out from nothing, which is, you know, how everyone would be starting, it tends to be really, you know, really, really depressed, really annoying, because as we were mentioning before, the fact that you are that you're used to this idea from the media, you know, you tend to be like, oh, if I just to be an actor, then in a couple of days I will be famous, you know, which is not. So it's great. It's great that you're doing it. It's great that you're pursuing it. And I'm super sure that our next conversation is going to be about, who knows, maybe the multiple thousand projects you've been in, because I do think that great things happen to those who are honest by heart. You know what I mean? So that's great.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that, honest by heart. I love that. I'm going to remember that one. That's really great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, since this episode is about to be over, on the description below, you're going to find all of social media for Michelle. Let's follow her. You know, let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Michelle. And again, Michelle, thank you so much for making this happen. Keep killing it. Keep being this incredible, amazing, badass woman you always are. And I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right.